This reading this evening is taken from Proverbs, the 18th chapter. I'll be reading verses 24. Proverbs 18:24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Good to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunities we have to be with one another, worship God in spirit and in truth. So this month in the Sunday evenings, we've been looking at Proverbs. We looked a little bit about Proverbs and wisdom. We looked at Proverbs and the sluggard. And this evening, we're going to look at Proverbs and what it has to say about friends. Proverbs is certainly a unique book, considered to be wisdom literature. And really, when you're looking at Proverbs, you're going to see these short sayings that are definitely inspired by God, but general truths for life to keep us on the right path, and certainly a lot of life lessons that we can take from Proverbs, apply them to ourselves as individuals, and the situations that we find ourselves in as we go throughout life. But certainly thinking about friends this evening, we can all use a few more friends, particularly the type of friends that Proverbs talks about. It talks about certain qualities of friends, and that's what we want to look at a little bit this evening, is a good friend, a good biblical friend. Number one, when we think about friends, I think about someone that is consistent and dependable. And certainly, when we think about our lives as we live here on earth, a big part of our life is trying to be more Christ-like. And certainly, I think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 and following. It says, "For to this you are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow his steps." When we think of God, and we think of Jesus, and we think of the Christian life, part of that is basically saying that we are going to follow the principles, ideas that God has left us. To be more Christ-like, to be more God-like, to be righteous, to be holy as best we can as we go throughout life. And when I think about consistency and dependability, I think that you wouldn't go too far before you start thinking about the God which we serve. God is dependable, God is consistent, and if we want to be a friend like God, or be more like God, that is something that we should work on each and every day, is to try to be more consistent and to be more dependable. So that there's another word that would go along with that, faithfulness, to be faithful. And I certainly think of the God which we serve. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." To be consistent, to be dependable, to be faithful. And certainly when we think of the Christian life, that is one term that we hear brought up all the time, is being faithful, being consistent, being dependable. And this is an idea of the followers of God, that followers of God should be more consistent and dependable. We're certainly not perfect in every way, but when we look at the God which we serve a dependable, consistent, and faithful God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, it's a powerful, I think, picture from the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." You know, you think about that picture. You know, therefore, the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Talk about consistency. Talk about dependability. Talk about faithfulness. Is that God will keep his promises, keep his covenants. He will continue to love for 1,000 generations. The God that we serve is consistent, dependable, and faithful. And as we live upon this life, I think it's a good thing for us to reflect upon, is that if God is consistent for us, if he's dependable for us, if he's faithful for us, then perhaps that when we consider us being a friend, these are attributes that we should try to have as part of our lives. This morning we looked at Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 talks about God, another attribute of God. We know it's impossible for God to lie. And in Titus 1 and verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Can we be more consistent? Can we be more dependable? Can we be more faithful in our words, in our deeds? Certainly God is that for us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Can we bring a little bit more consistency into our friendship? Can we bring more consistency into our spiritual lives that we can be there for those people that need us most? That we can be there, we can be consistent, dependable, and faithful when those trials come. Because when it comes to life, there is no shortage of trials. And I think as human beings, a trait that we have is many times when we go through things, we do feel alone. I don't think it takes a whole lot for us many times as humans to feel that we're alone. It's not true. I think that Satan tries to work on us and tries to isolate us and make us feel that we're isolated when we're going through disease, when we're going through trials and tribulations. Satan wants us to feel isolated. He wants us to feel like no one is there, that the consistent God that we serve is not there, and that our brothers and sisters in Christ are not there. When we go through trials and tribulations, it is so good to have a friend that is consistent, dependable, and faithful. And certainly God serves that purpose, but we as brothers and sisters in Christ need to be aware that when our brothers and sisters in Christ are going through things, a lot of times there is Satan's working on them, trying to make them feel that they're alone, that no one is there. Can we be consistent, dependable, and faithful for our brothers and sisters in Christ? In Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." It says, "A friend loves at all times." If we love at all times, I think we'll be there for people at all times, that we will be consistent, that we will be dependable, we will be faithful for those that are around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and other people in life that we meet a long life away. Certainly we are to be good to all, especially those in our household of faith, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to meet other people in our lives, that we can be the consistency that they need. We can be the dependability that they need. We can be faithful and be there when those people need us. And to be honest, as we look out in the world, this is one attribute that many times is hard to find. Individuals that are consistent, individuals that are dependable, individuals that are faithful. And if we can be that for someone, like God has been that for us, what a blessing we can be in other individuals' lives. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10, it says, "Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." It says, do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. You think about the opposite of being dependable, the opposite of not being inconsistent, when you think about someone that is not necessarily faithful, those are individuals that forsake. They're not there when they're needed. They're not there in the time of trial. And certainly we need to be very mindful as Christians that we are dependable and we do those things which God would want us to do. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, depending on your version on this one, but it says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." It says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother." That friend that sticks closer than a brother is the one that's consistent, dependable, and faithful, and we should certainly strive to do that and to stick close to those that we can support and we can help as we go throughout life. But we have to be careful by those that we surround ourselves with, because if you do surround yourselves with people that are inconsistent, people that are not dependable, it's not that we can't have these people in our lives, but it does sometimes put us in a dangerous place. It is amazing how much certain attributes can almost be simulated or given to another individual. If you're around inconsistent people, a lot of times you will turn to be inconsistent. It is just strange how that works. I've heard it said, and I've said it before, is that really, in many ways, we're a combination of the five people that we spend the most time around. And the question is, do we spend time around consistent people? Do we spend time around reliable people, dependable people, people that are faithful? Because those people, I think, can help build us up and help us work on this attribute of being a better friend, to be more dependable and be more consistent. I know a lot of people whose work ethic has been destroyed on the work site. And it's been destroyed on the work site because many times they are exposed to inconsistencies. They're exposed to people that aren't dependable. They're exposed to basically lower standards. And what happens is over the course of time, those low standards actually start affecting them. Because they're like, well, God doesn't show up on time. Well, so-and-so is not dependable. So-and-so is not consistent. So-and-so is not faithful. And what happens is it kind of spirals out of control in some weird way. And the Bible warns us about the people that we surround ourselves with. And when we think about people that we want to be around, and we want to be this person for other people, we want to be consistent, dependable, we want to be faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Truly, we're a combination, I think, of the five people we spend the most time around. And hopefully, one of those people is Jesus Christ, because His Word, and also those brothers and sisters in Christ that we try to be around each and every day. Consistency is a call for a Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Can we be a consistent friend? Can we be a consistent friend to pick others up when they fall down? That's what it talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Two are better than one, because you have a good reward for your labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." Can we be a consistent friend? Can we be more like God each and every day? Certainly, when I think about being consistent, dependable, and faithful, I think of our individual Christian life and our individual Christian walk is, are you a friend of God? We know God's a friend to us. God is consistent towards us. He is dependable towards us. God is faithful towards us. The Bible tells us that. We certainly see it through the examples throughout the Holy Scriptures. But are we a friend to God? Are we consistent on God's behalf? Are we dependable on God's behalf? Are we faithful on God's behalf? You know who God calls a friend? John chapter 15 and verse 14, it says, "You are my friend if you do what I command you." Can we consistently do the commands of God? Can we dependably do the commands of God? Can we be faithful and do those commands of God to the best of our ability? Are you a friend of God? Many people become friends of the world, and they want to pretend that they're friends with God. And in James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." If you want to be a friend of God, you need to be consistent, dependable, and faithful. How? In relation to the commandment. He says, "You are my friend if you do what I command you." Can we be a friend to those that are around us? Be consistent, dependable, faithful, not only to our friends, our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also God. When I think of a good friend, certainly I think of consistency. Another thing that I think about is honesty. Certainly God has been honest towards us. He has told us what we need to hear, not necessarily what we want to hear all the time, but He tells us exactly what we need to hear. And I think that's a trait of a good friend. And I think we have to be careful with this, because I think people do take things to the extreme. But good friends are honest and they're frank. Good friends are honest and frank. And to be honest, as we reflect on our society, being honest and frank has become more and more less popular. As we want to soften everything as much as we can soften it, but we soften it to a point where we're not even saying what needs to be said. We're not even saying the truth. We're not even saying what the Bible would want us to say. The Bible does say that we should speak the truth in love in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But the thing is we have to have both of those. To speak the truth in love, certainly we want to have the love part, but if you lose the truth along the way, it's become worthless. And our society has really fallen in love with that idea. Is that if you want to speak in our society, in our culture, you better speak loving, which means that you can't ever tell somebody necessarily what they need to hear. Sometimes people need to hear that they're wrong. sometimes they need to hear that they're not doing what they should be doing. And that is not always the easiest path to go through, but I think a true friend is honest and they're frank. And I'm not saying that there doesn't take some tact to do this, and certainly there's a season for everything. I don't think that we have to blow up on everybody. But there is a time and season for certain things. There is a time and season where things do have to be discussed, and they have to be discussed with passion and zeal. And unfortunately, passion and zeal has been translated as not allowed anymore. But passion and zeal, we can see a lot of individuals that were followers of God that certainly had passion and zeal behind what they were saying. I think of Stephen. Stephen had some hard words, and certainly you could say, well, maybe he should have been more tactful in that situation, but I don't see God condemning Stephen. He's speaking the truth in love. And I think that God is going to step in, and certainly God is the perfect judge, and he can see when we do have love behind our passion and zeal that the world wants to interpret as an attack. But we have to speak the truth. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'm going to repeat that. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Wait, a friend can hurt me? A friend can hurt me when they tell me the truth. I mean, the God, honest truth, they just tell me what exactly I need to hear. They tell me perhaps where my shortcoming is, where I'm having issues, where something needs to be addressed. That is the truth. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know what? Many times, the best people that I have found in my life are the people that are honest with me. They will just tell me the truth. They don't try to powder things up. They don't try to make them look good. They just say, Kyle, this is what needs to be said. And really, we think about the people that are closest to us. You know, in my life, my wife is very good at that. Wives are very good at telling the truth. Particularly when it comes to her husband. And really, we should appreciate that. Is they're very good at spotting things that need to be worked on, that need to be addressed, and sometimes they hurt. Sometimes we receive wounds from a friend, but those are really to be valued so much more than the kisses from the enemy, which really are just deceitful and not really getting to what we need to get to. In Proverbs chapter 27, we just read verse 6, but if you look at verse 5 too, it says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. And I think that's become popular in our society, is I love you, so I'm going to hide my love, and I'm not going to discuss anything with you. I'm not going to discuss any of those heart issues. I'm not going to try to discuss some of the things that you're involved in. I'm not going to discuss some of your beliefs, some of your things. And there's a time and season for everything, and I do agree with that. I think there's some tact that comes here, but it's almost up to the point sometimes where the truth isn't said, where honesty isn't welcome, where frankness isn't brought up, and because of that, really, relationships deteriorate, families deteriorate, society and our communities deteriorate, because the truth will not be said. But when we think about it, Paul, he ended up in some situations, I think it's Galatians 4 and verse 16, he says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? A good friend is honest, is frank, and certainly puts things out there. And I think that's kind of what we're getting from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 and 6. It says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, rebuke can be appreciated. And I think just like we look at discipline, a lot of times discipline is not appreciated in the moment, but many times as the years go on, discipline is what's appreciated the most. Some of the best people I know were people that were disciplined, and if you talk to them, very heavily in their youth. And you know what almost all of them say? I'm thankful for that discipline. I'm thankful for that rebuke. They don't say it in the moment. I didn't say it in the moment when my dad was disciplining me for certain things. But as time goes on, many times rebuke is appreciated. And we see the love that's behind it. We see why it's being done. It's not being done with malicious intent. It's being done really out of love. And that's actually what the Bible says about discipline. Is God says he disciplines those that he loves. And certainly, sometimes honesty, frankness, and discussion need to be had. And rebuke is sometimes the way that is going to come across. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 23, it says, "He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue." He who rebukes a man will find favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue. You know, it's easy to tell people what they want to hear. And this has become very popular in the religious world, where really, it's just soon said exactly what people want to hear. Don't worry about changing yourself. Don't worry about changing your lifestyle. Don't worry about attending services. Don't worry about trying to worship. Don't worry about trying to serve. Don't worry about those things. And sometimes they don't say that directly, but really what they're saying exactly what people want to hear instead of trying to move people in the direction that they should be moving. I don't think it's that hard to find what flatters people. I don't think it's hard to find what people many times are looking for. And you can see it in the religious world. Is if you want some type of watered-down religion, you can find it very easy, and it seems like a new one's popping up on every corner. You just pick your flavor of the day, and that really is what's happened to the religious world. But it says, "He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterwards." And that cannot be forgotten, is you have to have that long-term perspective. But when we think of friends, they are honest. They are frank. And certainly God is honest with us and frank with us. And certainly I think that when we think about the way we treat others, I like to be treated straight up. And I'm not saying that I won't get a little irritated, I won't get mad, because I'm not perfect. Okay? But usually I'm pretty good. As time goes on, I'm like, you know what? I can see why they made that comment. I can see why they said that. And you know what? That is something that I maybe need to work on and reflect on and think on and work on. And I think most of us would prefer the more of a straight-up approach than trying to dance around the issue and we never really have any meaningful discussion. And unfortunately, that is what happens a lot of times in the world, is that there has been a downgrade of honesty and frankness, and that does not really make for a good friendship or really a worthwhile friendship. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days." And certainly we have to listen. But a lot of times when we talk about honesty and we talk about frankness, we kind of view it, I think many times, from the negative. But I want to view it just a little bit from the positive. Have you ever received an honest and sincere compliment from someone? An honest and sincere compliment from someone. See, when I think about a friend, certainly I want a friend to address some of the negatives that are going on in life. But you know what? There's something about the friend that points out the positives to your life. That really gives you a compliment. Now, when I think of this, I think of my grandfather, because my grandfather was a very quiet man, very humble man. He worked very hard. He actually supported three families through the Depression. I mean, he's just a quiet man. And if I go back to Tyler County, his name is just, I mean, there's something special about his name and what he did for the community there and everything. But my grandpa, he didn't talk a whole lot. But there are three things that he said to me over the course of my life that I remember so much. And they were compliments that he gave me. They were compliments that he said to me. And I carry those with me to this day. Is my grandpa was honest. He would tell you the truth. He was kind of a straight shooter. But when he gave you a compliment, when you think about an honest, sincere compliment, not flattery, not trying to build you up in some negative way, but just an honest and sincere compliment, you know, how many times can that build someone up? And I think about that when I think of good friends in my life. I'm not saying they're running around and complimenting me every 2 seconds. But there's something special about a friend that gives you an honest, sincere compliment. And I think that is something powerful that a friend certainly does. There's people out there that flatter, and there's people that do that. But an honest, sincere appreciation, there's something special about that. And I think it's resurrected many people from the grave, metaphorically speaking. Because I think there's been people, I mean, you can almost see it sometimes. Somebody's discouraged, they're going through a hard time, and you say something to them, positive, complimenting them sincerely. We're not talking about flattery, but just saying something sincere. And just see how they almost raise emotionally from the grave. My assessment is that a sincere compliment has saved and encouraged many an individual to go the extra mile many a time. You know, we wouldn't go without food. But in many ways, when we think about our lives, I think a lot of us, as we have tried to live the Christian life and tried to serve, we don't mind serving. And we don't mind sacrificing, but there's a little piece of us that just a little bit of thank you, we can run a whole lot of extra time on thank you. Just a little bit of appreciation, just a little bit of thank you, and just watch how you change somebody's life. Think about your spouse. When's the last time you told them thank you? Now, I'm not saying a flattering thank you. I'm talking about a sincere thank you. They do something, and you appreciate that, and you just say thank you. From the deepest part of your heart, you just say thank you. And I can tell you, there has been a lot of miles that have been run, a lot of extra miles that have been run, just based off of honest, sincere appreciation and thankfulness. And I think friends need to consider that. And I think we should consider that as Christians, because one of the jobs that we have is to encourage one another. Not necessarily to puff each other up, but to be looking out for each other and really truly appreciate what we do, because really without each other, we will not get very far in the service to God. Because we need each and everyone's talent to come together so that we can serve God better. We think about being a consistent friend. We think about being an honest friend. Not only in our criticism, but also our compliments. The last thing I'd like to consider is to be considerate. And I think this goes along with the other two, but, you know, it takes some thinking to be a friend. I really do believe that. It takes some thinking to be a friend. And are you considerate of your friend? It is very easy in this life to think just about ourselves, but what the Bible tries to encourage us as we go throughout this life is to think about others. And there's many places that we could turn. I think in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but the interests of others." The temptation of Satan in this world is just to think about yourself. Just to think about yourself. But can we, just for a moment, try to think about our spouse? Can we think about our children? Can we think about our grandchildren? Can we think about our brothers and sisters in Christ? Can we think about the stranger on the street? If we are going to be a good friend, not only do we need to be consistent, not only do we need to be honest, but we need to consider other people that are around us. I think Proverbs chapter 25 offers an interesting point. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 17, it says, "Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you." That's an interesting idea. And I think really within that idea, there is something about being considerate of others. It says, "Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you." You know, I think all of us need a little bit of alone time. But it takes a little thinking to think, you know what? I have been spending a lot of time with this person. Maybe we just need a little bit of separation. For that to happen, you have to consider their needs. Because you're like, I love being around them. I want to be around them all the time. Well, you know, there are things that happen. I just think of me with a young family. I love spending time with other people, but there's time I need with my family. You know, and I'm very appreciative when people are very considerate of that, and they say, "Hey, Kyle, we would love, I appreciate all the invitations I receive, but sometimes the invitation that says, 'Hey, we'd love to have you here, but we understand that you have a family. We understand that you've got things going on.' I tell you, that means so much, because what it's showing me is they're considering the things that are going on in my life. And that is something that is sometimes hard, because you have to take your focus off yourself and say, what would be best for this person, or what might be done? And I think there in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 17, there's an idea there that thinking about others and how we can do that. And as we're thinking about appreciation and thankfulness, is I think to be a good friend, you have to consider that other individual to find that sincere compliment. You know, I taught 8th grade science there for about 3 years or so, and I heard this story one time. I just assume it's true. I heard a story of a janitor, and the janitor at the school was not really doing the best job. Kind of discouraged, kind of moping, kind of depressed. And the principal said, "I just made it a point to find one thing that janitor was doing well, and I just sincerely complimented on it." They even said that a lot of the teachers had kind of ganged up on the janitor. The janitor just had such a negative attitude. Everybody had almost ganged up on the janitor. And the principal just said, "You know what? Each and every day, I'm just going to try to find one sincere thing that they're doing right, that they're doing good." And that principal started to be compliments. He just said, "Hey, I appreciate the way you took out that trash, or the way you did this." And he said, over the course of a month, he said the janitor had totally changed and was one of the best janitors they had. can you consider what somebody else is going well? It's easy to jump on the negative train. It's easy to jump on the negative train and make a big list of everything that somebody's doing wrong. It's easy to make that list. You know what a considerate friend does? They try to find the good things on the list. And you know what? As I go throughout life, I think most of us have some good things on that list. And if we can find those, and we can foster those and encourage those, what a blessing that would be to our brothers and sisters in Christ and those that are around us. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. When's the last person that you complimented? Or you said thank you for something that somebody has done? We're not talking about flattery. We're not talking about not being sincere. But we as brothers and sisters in Christ, as friends, we should be able to find good things that we are doing for one another and do the best we can as we go throughout life to find those. Certainly being considerate and calculating, I think, is something that we have to think about as we go throughout our Christian life. And I think that's really a big part of thinking about others. In Colossians 3 and verse 13, it says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Bearing with one another. There is a connection that we have with each other, and that some of that connection involves forgiveness, as we fall short many times. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. There are so many things that we can do to be considerate of each other, to be considerate of each other's lives, to be considerate of the things that we do well as we go throughout life. We've talked a little bit about being a good friend this evening, but when we think of the best friend, we do think of Jesus. I think of consistency when I think of Jesus. I think of honesty when it comes to Jesus. I certainly think of being considerate and thinking of others, which certainly Jesus did. But I think of John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13. It says, this command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, lay down one's life for his friends. When you think of a friend, I think of Jesus. And if we can be a little bit more like Jesus each and every day, what a blessing we would be to the lives that are around us. Can you be a blessing each and every day to someone that's around you? You can be a blessing to someone else if you're a good friend. Consistent, honest, and certainly considerate of those that are around you. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can this evening if you come, as we stand, and as we sing.